It's Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you programs from radio's past. I'm your host, Mark Levelyer. Coming up in this hour, horror. Later on, Lights Out from 1943. But first, The Weird Circle, with an adaptation of the Edgar Allan Poe story, The Fall of the House of Usher, an NBC syndicated broadcast from 1943.
Phantoms of a world gone by, speak again the immortal tale, the fall of the House of Usher.
This is the history of the House of Usher. I am leaving it as my last will and testament, because before this year is over, the cavernous tarn will close over the gables of our decadent home. It was written by our ancestors many years ago that when the rains are blood red, the House of Usher will crumble to the earth. There are three members of the Usher family living, two in direct descent, the Lady Madeline and her twin brother Roderick. I was engaged to marry Roderick long before I knew my cousin. It is the custom for the Usher family to intermarry. The Lady Madeline has been confined to bed these many weeks, waiting for death, waiting for the last days of her life to pass quietly.
I've so little time left, Roderick. I must see Charles before I die.
Charles Wilson is tied up in London on business. He can't come down here every time you've a whim to see him.
Oh, this is no whim. Just a matter of days before I... Don't be impatient with me.
Sister, please.
Oh, afraid of the truth, Roderick? You've always been afraid of me. I can read your mind so easily. Look at me, brother.
Let's not argue again.
You've always wanted me to die. You've waited for it year after year, praying and hoping that I die, leaving you free to inherit the house and the fortune. But you'll be fooled. Look. Look at the rain.
This isn't you speaking. It's the fever.
Fever or not, the rain is turning red, isn't it?
Yes, it seems that way at times.
Each day it will be redder and redder and darker and...
Madeline.
Afraid, brother? Are you afraid of blood-red rains?
The doctor said you should have rest and quiet. You weaken yourself when you're excited.
Where's Dina?
I don't know. I'm not her keeper. She's downstairs, probably, buried in that romantic nonsense that she reads.
Every girl likes to read romantic stories, Rod. Heaven help her when she becomes your wife. Call her for me, will you?
The doctor's orders were that you're not to be disturbed.
Call her, Rod. Do as I say.
For your own good, I...
I'll get even with you someday. Dina... Dina. Dina.
Madeline.
Dina.
Did you call me Lady Madeline?
Yes, Dina Charles. Come here, my dear.
Is there something I can do for you?
Yes. I want to see Charles Wilson before I die.
I told you he was busy, Maddie.
Tell Talbot to hitch up the coach and four, Dina. Go to London tonight. Tell Charles I must see him right away. Bring him back with you.
I'll not have Dina go out in this weather.
But, Roderick...
Dina, please go. Don't listen to Rod. Do this for me.
I will not have strangers dragged into our family secrets.
Charles Wilson is no stranger. He's the only one who knows the secret of the House of Usher.
I don't like leaving you, cousin.
The doctor will be here shortly. Hurry, my dear, and bring Charles back.
I forbid it, Dina.
If I don't see Charles tonight, I'll be buried alive. Not able to live. Not able to die.
Yeah, we'll never get through to London tonight, Mum. Not in this weather. Not in a million years. It ain't a night for humans to be a bat.
The Lady Madeline is dying. The least we can do is grant her her last wish.
Dina! Dina!
Quickly, Talbot, before Roderick tries to catch up with us.
Dina, did you hear me call you?
Yes, I heard you, cousin.
Try to protect you, child, because I love you. I don't want any harm to come to my future wife.
Please, Roderick.
Why do you turn from me when I touch you?
I don't know.
afraid of me?
I...
Answer me, Dina. Are you afraid of me?
Yes.
But you loved me once.
That was before we returned to the House of Usher.
And you're going anyway?
Yes, Roderick. For Madeline's sake.
Are you ready, Mum?
Yes, Talbot, ready. We'll be back by midnight, Roderick.
Hurry, cousin. Or else the Lady Madeline might not live long enough to get her last wish.
Did she leave, Roderick?
Yes. Madeline, why don't you confide in me? Why must you call in strangers when you know how it humiliates me?
I can't trust you, Roderick.
Ever since we were children, you've kept one secret from me. What is that secret, Madeline?
That's one thing you'll never wheedle out of me.
What is that secret, Maddie?
Leave me alone, brother. I'm ill.
You're dying, Madeline. You know you're dying. Secret won't do you any good. Now, what is it?
Please, Roderick.
Tell me, Madeline, or you won't live to die the way you think you will. Tell me, or by heaven, I'll force it out of you.
Whoa there, whoa, boy. This is his house, Mum.
Thank you, Talbot. Mr. Wilson, is he here?
Yes, sir. Why, Dina Usher, what are you doing in London at this hour of the night? Come in, my dear.
The Lady Madeline sent me.
Great heavens, child, your clothes are drenched. Come on in. I'll fix you some hot tea.
Oh, we haven't time, Charles. Madeline wants to see you at once. Please come with me right away. The doctor doesn't think she'll live through the night.
Madeline? Dying?
Oh, she's been ill for months. Charles, you wouldn't know her anymore.
Why didn't you let me know before this?
Roderick wouldn't let me.
Roderick? But why?
I can't explain now, Charles. Believe me when I say it's important that you come at once. Talbot's waiting outside. I'm frightened for Madeline. We've got to be back by midnight.
You came in time, Doctor.
Lady Usher, you shouldn't allow your brother to excite you.
There's a cruel streak in him at times. Surprisingly like my grandfather. What time is it?
Midnight. Here, drink this. It will give you strength.
I can't move.
Lean against me. There.
Dr. Bain, you've attended all my family, haven't you?
Yes, Lady Usher.
You've been closer to us than almost anyone. If I ask you for an honest answer, would you give it to me?
That depends on the question.
How much longer have I to live?
Years, my dear.
No, Doctor. I want an honest answer, please. It's imperative that I know.
I don't know, really, my dear.
Hurry, Talbot. Please, hurry.
I'm going as fast as the horses can go, Mum.
Faster, Talbot.
We won't accomplish anything at all if you lose self-control, Dina.
Oh, I'm sorry, Charles, but I've the most dreadful foreboding.
Foreboding? Well, I thought Madeline and Roderick were as close as brother and sister could possibly be.
They were until about a year ago.
What caused the change?
Well, I've been living at the House of Usher for about 4 months, and Roderick suddenly became, nervous, jumpy. He'd locked himself up in his room for days. He was morbid, frightfully morbid.
Sounds like a depression of spirit.
Oh, it's way deeper than that. Madeline fell ill at the same time. And then the horrible reddish rains began to fall.
Red rain? Dina, really?
Oh, you'll see. The first day those rains began to fall, the rift between Madeline and Roderick widened. Until now, their hate is a living thing. It fills the house. They seem to be battling constantly for possession of each other's soul. Charles, look. Look ahead. There's the house. And the rain. Look at the rain.
Yes. Red rain.
Good night.
Well, Charles, do come in. We've been waiting for you.
Oh, it's good to see you again, Roderick.
Come in, Dina. Don't stand there staring at me.
It's been a long time since I've last seen you, Rod.
Yes, a long time.
Let me take your coat, Charles. I'll hang it up.
Thank you, dear.
My sister's waiting, Charles. You'd better go right up.
Yes, of course.
I'd better warn you. Madeline's delirious. She doesn't quite know what she's saying sometimes.
Rod, why don't you come up with me?
She expressed a desire to see you alone.
Glad you came. I had to see you alone.
Madeline, don't try to sit up. You'll only weaken yourself.
Sit over here, Charles, next to me. You're the only person I can trust, and you must promise to do exactly as I say.
Of course, of course.
Remember what I told you years ago. Remember about Roderick and me. I told you then that he and I were more than twins.
Well, that was just childish fancy.
Oh, I wish to God it were. Those suspicions have all been proven these last few months. Roderick and I are only one person. Not two. We have two earthly bodies, but we share one soul. When Charles and I were born, our shoulders were attached. The day of our birth, we were separated.
Well, that doesn't necessarily mean you share one soul.
I've never been able to feel anything for myself. His thoughts are my thoughts. His tears are my tears. His weaknesses are mine. Don't you understand, Charles?
Are you sure of this, Madeline?
Positive. His mind has the initiative. He doesn't respond to my emotions. Because I have none. None. I'm cold without him. Don't you see? My earthly body is wasting away. But my soul is not my own. As long as he's alive, Charles, the power of his life will keep me living.
Madeline, Lady Madeline, you mustn't even think of it.
Oh, it's true, though. I'll have a living death. I'll be buried alive. Unable to live. Unable to die.
Madeline.
That's why I called you here. Promise me now, Charles. You'll never allow my coffin to be sealed. Keep my body in this house.
You must rest, Madeline. Stop talking
to me. Promise, Charles. Promise.
Yes, yes, of course I do.
Don't tell Roderick, Charles. Ever. You'll seal me in my tomb alive.
Madeline, my dear.
Every mortal is entitled to his own soul. If I can't rest in death. If I can't rest in death. I'll return from the grave and take him with me. You've given me your promise, Charles. You won't forget it.
My promise is my word.
What are you doing standing outside this door, Roderick?
Dina.
Not enough to see Charles in privacy. Why do you insist on spying on your own sister?
Shut up.
I can't understand you, Roderick.
There are many things you can't understand, Dina. Come with me downstairs.
Let me go.
Come along. The living room.
I'd like to go in and tell Madeline that you were spying on her again.
Tell her if you wish. She's a poor, sick thing. Unable to lift her arm against me.
I don't know how I ever loved you.
You'll learn to again after we're married.
I hate you, Roderick Usher. I'll never marry you. Roderick! Roderick, what's the matter?
Pain inside me, crawling like vermin. Help me, Dina.
Oh, of course.
Help me.
Roderick! Dina! It's Madeline! She's dead!
I am, Madeline, beside your bed. You're dead, Madeline. Dead. Two people fought for the possession of one soul, and you've lost. You'll try to drag me to the grave with you, but you're weaker than I, Madeline. You'll never return. Never.
That was her last request, Doctor.
It's a peculiar request, Mr. Wilson.
I know it is, Doctor, but it was the Lady Madeline's last wish. Oh, Roderick. What are you doing here?
Taking a last look at my beloved sister's face.
Oh. Doctor, I'm not quite sure that the Lady Madeline is dead. Look at the flush of life in her cheeks.
Stop speaking like a fool, Charles.
Look for yourself, Roderick.
What are you trying to do, frighten me?
No. I've asked the doctor to verify her death.
In cases of this kind, Mr. Wilson, death from catalepsy, the deceased often retains a lifelike flush. But it's merely symptomatic. Nothing supernatural about it.
Of course she's dead. Isn't she, Doctor?
However, if you feel the slightest doubt...
No doubt at all.
I'd suggest delaying the burial for a week or two.
As her nearest of kin, I want the funeral held at once. She'll be laid to rest in the family catacombs beneath the house.
Roderick, I gave her my word.
Your word isn't valid. You're not one of the family.
But it was my word of honor.
Don't mix in family affairs, Charles.
But the least you can do is grant her last wish, Roderick.
This is nonsense. The dead are best buried.
But, Rod, your own sister...
No.
As the doctor in the case, I don't feel justified in making out a death certificate for 2 weeks. The Lady Madeline will lie in state in her coffin in the catacombs. The coffin will remain open.
For 30 years, these catacombs have been unused. Look at the walls, Tina. Time has encrusted them with nitre.
Oh, it's cold in here. Cold and damp.
Let's take the coffin this way, Talbot. Watch out, Charles. Don't fall. Be careful. Catacombs have always been soft with slime and nitre. Hard to breathe in here at times, isn't it?
Where's the room, Roderick?
Ahead. At the end of the corridor.
Are you positive we can keep a fire burning in there?
Yes, Charles. Talbot.
Yes, sir.
Did you start the fire?
Oh, yes, sir. I did that early this morning. The room ought to be warm by now, sir.
Talbot's a dependable man. He starts warm fires to bring life to death.
Roderick, how can you act like that? Your own sister.
Yes, my own dear, beloved sister. There, Charles. Look ahead of you. Tiny room at the end of a corridor. The fire is blazing.
Be careful. Careful with the casket. We'll place it on the table.
Center. Oh. All right, sir. We can place it down there. Yes, yes, top. Down there.
I know the mighty mother.
Rest in peace.
And that we shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though this body be destroyed, yet shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not as a stranger. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. The Lord give us, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Talbot! Talbot!
Yes, ma'am? Why, Mum, what are you doing up at this hour of the night?
I can't sleep. I keep dreaming the Lady Madeline is crying for help. Where's Lord Roderick?
Well, he couldn't sleep either, Mum. He said he was worried that his sister was cold, Mum. Whatever does he mean by that?
Did he go down to the catacombs?
Yes, Mum, that he did. He said he wanted to stir the fires a bit.
Down there?
Oh, wait a minute, Mum.
Later, Talbot. I must stop him. I must.
I wouldn't go down there, Mum. It's ever so cold at night and damp. I wouldn't go down there myself. I advised Lord Roderick against it, Mum. I did.
Roderick! The door slammed shut. It's so dark in here. Cold and dark. Roderick, where are you? Rod, answer me. Roderick, I can't see.
I don't like these goings on at all, I don't. People dying and not getting themselves properly buried. It ain't normal. No, that it ain't.
Talbot.
What? Are you up too, Mr. Wilson? Don't nobody sleep proper in this here house?
Where are Miss Dina and Lord Roderick Talbot?
Well, I was sitting here as nice as you please, sir.
But where is Miss Dina, Talbot?
Well, yeah, that's what I'm getting to. I was thinking it's your cup of tea. When Lord Roderick comes in a little past midnight, or it was a little before midnight.
Where is he?
Well, I'm getting to that. He comes in and he says he does... He wants a flame.
Yes?
Yeah. He says, as calm as you please,
He wants to go down and keep his sister from getting cold.
And Miss Dina?
Well, as for her, she came down a little later and said she dreamt that the Lady Madeline was calling to her. So she follows Lord Roderick to the catacombs. It ain't proper, sir. It ain't proper.
Roderick! Roderick! Oh, there's the light. There.
Are you calling me, cousin?
Oh, Roderick. Roderick, I was so frightened. I thought I was lost.
Why did you come down here?
I dreamt Madeline needed me. Well, what did you do, Rod?
Be quiet, Dina.
You closed the coffin. Oh, how could you?
Don't you approve?
You were going to drive a stake through her coffin.
She was a witch, Dina. A witch. Isn't that the custom to drive a stake through the heart of a witch? Watch, Dina. Watch.
No.
Watch me drive the hammer through her heart.
Stop, Rod. Stop that. Roderick, put that stake down in heaven's name. Don't. Leave it alone.
Take your hands off.
Oh, please, Roderick. Please. It's so horrible. Don't you understand? It's your own sister. Your own sister.
You'll pay for this, Dina. You and Madeline together.
Oh, Roderick.
Dina, help me with him.
Yes, sir.
Pardon me, Lord Roderick, but...
Oh, darling. You came just in time.
He looks like he was dead, sir, lying there on the sofa.
No. No, he's beginning to stir.
Keep bathing his face in cool water, dear. He'll be all right. I'm afraid the shock of Madeline's death is too much for him.
The shock of her death, the constant fall of the rain. It's getting redder all the time, Charles.
Yes, it is. That's just an electric phenomenon.
Oh.
Don't try to move, Roderick.
Oh. It's you, Dina. You again.
Lie still, cousin. You'll feel better in a little while.
You're both fools. You shouldn't have stopped me. She's a witch. Don't you understand?
No, no, Roderick.
Listen. Listen, Charles.
What?
Can't you hear it?
What are you talking about?
Listen. I told you once my hearing was super acute. I can hear a heart beating.
You're overwrought. Suppose I go for the doctor, Rod. He'll give you a sedative.
No. No, don't leave me.
But you need your sleep.
Well, of course you do. All this horror tonight will pass over when the morning comes. And those infernal rains clear.
It's not in my mind. She's coming. She's coming for me. I can hear her in the catacombs. Listen, Charles, listen.
Roderick, please believe me that you're simply overwrought and emotional.
I've got to get out of here. I must leave at once. She's coming for me. Coming. She swore she would. I know she did. I overheard her talk with you, Charles.
Roderick.
Cousin, no, you're hearing things.
Now, listen.
I can't hear anything.
She's leaving the catacombs now. Listen, Charles, don't you hear her breathing? Can't you hear her footsteps? Her sighs? She's in the hallway, Charles. In the hall. Help me, Charles. Help me, Charles.
Roderick.
She's coming closer. Faster. Faster. The fever on the stairs. One by one, she's coming up those stairs. Listen, you can hear her now, can't you? You can hear her now.
Charles, look out the window. The rains are blood red.
She's outside the door. Listen. Listen, cousin, listen.
Madeline!
No, sister. No.
Leave the house of Usher, Charles. You and Dina, leave this cursed house at once. The rains are blood red. And I've come to reclaim my soul.
Adlin.
No. And you, Roderick, you will be soulless forever.
From that chamber and from that mansion, Charles and I fled aghast. The storm was still abroad in all its wrath as we crossed the park to the highway. The moon above the house of Usher was blood red. And Charles held me close as we walked on and on into the night.
Dina, my darling, don't look back. The house has crumbled to the ground. crumbled into the cavernous tide.
Charles.
Little dear. She'll always be safe with me.
From the time-worn pages of the past, we have recalled the fall of the House of Usher. Bellkeeper, toll the bell.
The Weird Circle, on Tuned to Yesterday, an NBC syndicated episode from 1943. It was nearly 100 years before that the story from Edgar Allan Poe, The Fall of the House of Usher, was first published in 1839. At this point on record, The Weird Circle was the first radio program to take on the story. The Escape series on CBS would in 1947, also the NBC University Theater in 1949. This is an hour of horror on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for Lights Out with the story Little Old Lady, a CBS episode from May 25th, 1943.
Ironized Yeast presents Lights Out, Everybody. Lights Out brings you stories of the supernatural and the supernormal, dramatizing the fantasies and the mysteries of the unknown. We tell you this frankly, so if you wish to avoid the excitement and tension of these imaginative plays, we urge you calmly but sincerely to turn off your radio now.
This is Arch Oboler. Tonight, a strange story about ordinary people. Two girls just like you or your daughter or the girl who works next to you in the office.
And now, lights out, everybody.
You think we're still in the United States?
I'm beginning to doubt it.
Are you sure you got the right address?
Of course.
Well, don't be so dogmatic. You have made mistakes.
Sounds as if you're starting to get annoyed.
Well, I am. We've been driving so long, my back feels as if somebody were doing a big apple on it.
Oh, we'll be there soon enough.
You know, Alice, sometimes that calm nature of yours makes me good and tired.
You sound as if you want to quarrel.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's just that, well, I looked forward to this vacation for weeks, and now that it's happening, well, it isn't so much fun.
Oh, wait till you get to my Aunt Harriet's. You can curl up in the alfalfa and sleep for days.
Sleep. Oh, that's a lovely word. Just imagine, sleeping as long as you want without having to worry about making an 8 o'clock class.
Perfect.
But are you sure you know where your Aunt Harriet lives?
I've run out of synonyms for her. Of course I do. Oh,
I just like to reassure myself. I certainly hope she has soft beds. Oh, and that reminds me, you did send her that letter that we're coming.
No.
Say that again?
No, I didn't send the letter.
You mean to say that she doesn't even know that we're coming to stay with her?
Well, I decided it'd be more fun if we sort of surprised her.
Well, of all the brainstorms, walking in on somebody you haven't seen for 10 years and expecting her to welcome you.
She's my only aunt, isn't she?
But maybe she won't have room for
us. Don't be silly. I told you Aunt Harriet lives alone and likes it.
Well, maybe she won't like it if we barge in on her.
Don't be silly. Of course we'll be welcome. From what I've heard, she's a little old darling.
When you were 8, she was a darling. For all you know, she's taken the welcome mat in years ago.
Oh.
Hey, wait a minute. Didn't you say we were supposed to go down Camden Road 3 miles?
Yes.
Then you are lost. That sign back there, this isn't Camden Road.
You're silly.
I saw it with my own eyes. It said Pig Snackle Road.
Oh, God.
There, see that? Pig Snackle Road. You are wrong.
Pig Snackle Road. That's too good to be true.
Are you crazy, laughing at a name of a place when you haven't got any idea where you are and my
oh,
back...
Oh, don't be silly. I'm sure we'll find... Hey, there. There it is.
There's what? The edge of the world?
Oh, no, the crossroad. The entrance to Aunt Harriet's place ought to be just a little bit beyond it.
That's what you say.
Well, yes. There it is. Here, we turn here. Turn.
Hey, wait a minute. What are you trying to do, turn over?
Oh, it won't be long now.
Oh, you're telling me. This is no road. It's a cow path.
Yeah. Aunt Harriet likes privacy.
Oh.
I remember Dad and Mother used to say that.
Another 100 feet on this road, and I won't need a bed. I'll need a stretcher. Come on, slow down. I knew it.
What a road. Even the tires couldn't take it.
What do we care? Aunt Harriet's place just a little ways down. We'll walk.
You mean leave the car right here in the middle of the road?
It's Aunt Harriet's own private road. No one will bother it. Oh, come on. Take your bag. Let's get out of here.
Oh, all right. I'm just a stooge.
Come on, let's go. We'll just be in time for dinner.
That's what you think.
What do you mean?
I mean, maybe your Aunt Harriet doesn't like guests who walk in just like that. Hey, Alice, now what are you stopping for?
I just noticed.
Noticed what?
How dark it's getting.
So what? Come on. When the sun starts setting, it gets dark. I learned that in Physical Science 101.
Yeah, but back there on the road, it was so light, and here it's so dark and gloomy.
What's the matter with you? Are you going to take your suitcase and come on, or are you going to stand there being afraid of the dark?
I'm all right.
So many trees around here, no wonder it's dark. If that Aunt Harriet of yours wants privacy, she sure got it. And I hope when we get there, I'll have the same...
Mona.
Now what?
Look at that mist coming up through the trees.
Yeah.
It's like long, white, curling fingers.
Oh, stop that, will you? It's just that it's getting late. Colder, moisture's condensing. Oh, will we ever get there, riding and walking? Have you actually got an Aunt Harriet? Come on, let's go back.
Hey, wait, Lona, there it is.
Huh? Hallelujah, it is a house. Well, it's about time. It's about time. Knock harder, Alice. Knock harder.
Can't. It hurts my knuckles.
Oh, let me.
She must be home. There's a light upstairs.
And you were going to surprise her, eh?
But she never leaves this place.
Oh, go on. You don't even know that she lives here. A fine business. Car with a flat stuck in the middle of nowhere. Nobody home in this godforsaken place. Me so tired I could sleep standing on my head.
But she must be home.
You're repeating yourself. Oh, if this is a vacation...
Hey, wait a minute. Wait. Wait, there's someone at the door.
Oh, yes. Yes? Oh, what do you want?
I'm looking for... are you Miss Saugus?
Yes, yes. Oh, what do you want?
Well, then you are Aunt Harriet.
Hallelujah again.
Who's calling me Aunt Harriet? Who, I say, who are you?
Why, I'm Alice. Alice Preston.
Alice? Oh, yes, yes. Bless my soul. I know you. Come in. Come in.
Hallelujah, we're here.
Come in. Come in and close the door.
Oh, Aunt Harriet, you don't know how glad I am to see you. Did we have a time getting here?
Yes. Come right in here. Right in here.
There, Lona. I told you we'd be welcome.
Well, she didn't even ask who I was.
Now, put your things down here and sit down and make yourself comfortable.
Thanks. Aunt Harriet, this is my girlfriend, Lona Stevens. We roomed together at the university, and I asked her to come along with
me. It's all right, my child. Oh, it's all right. Anyone's welcome. Anyone at all.
Oh, that's very kind of you, Aunt Harriet. I hope you won't mind my calling you that, but Alice always...
There, my child. It's all right. A name's a name. Now sit here and be comfortable. I'll get some tea.
Oh, no, really, Aunt Harriet.
Well, apparently your Aunt Harriet does what she wants to do.
Doesn't she?
Oh, well, as long as we're here. Like something out of a museum, isn't it?
What?
The house, the furnishings. Look at the chairs and that sofa. Are they prehistoric or are they prehistoric?
I didn't think she was so old.
Old? Oh, you mean your aunt?
Yes.
Oh, well, after all, in 10 years, living alone out in this godforsaken place, I sort of think she's nice.
Do you?
Well, taking us right in and not asking us all sorts of silly questions. That's the kind of relative to have. You know, if I were to go barging in on any of mine, first they'd give me a third degree on how come I was away from school, and then they'd give me another third degree on how long I was going to stay.
Lona.
What's the matter?
Back there in the shadows. What is...
I don't...
It's something moving.
Why, it's a dog.
Oh.
Why, no, it's a cat.
Cat? It is a cat.
Not a cat. Look at the size of it. Tiger.
Lona, what'll we do?
Don't move. If we do, it'll...
Now, here's your tea, young ladies. Nice, warm tea. Just what you need.
Aunt Harriet.
What's the matter? What? Oh, he's frightened you.
What is it?
You've got eyes, haven't you?
Well, yes, but
it's so dark in that corner, we can't hardly tell. It's not a tiger, is it?
Don't talk nonsense.
Well, what is it?
He shouldn't be here at all. It's much too early for him.
Aunt Harriet, didn't you hear me? I asked you what it is.
Oh, what do you think he is?
Well, it can't be a cat.
Why, he's as big as a police
dog. All right. Come upstairs. I'll show you to your room. Now, this way, I'll show you to your room.
Harriet, I don't really...
Come along. I say, I'll come along up these stairs.
Come on, Alice.
Why don't you?
Come on, we better do as she says.
All right. You must be tired, you two. Sleep.
But, Aunt Harriet, how could it be a cat when we...
We'll talk no more about it. We'll talk no more about it now. Tomorrow. Yes, we'll talk about that tomorrow morning. Now, in here, my dears. In here.
Come on, Alice.
But why doesn't she answer me?
There, you see. A very comfortable room for both of you to rest in. Nice wide bed. Everything clean.
But, Aunt
You'll
Harriet...
Get a nice
wait,
rest
just
here.
A minute.
Yes,
I want to find out nice something about
rest.
That.
Forget it,
no,
Alice.
No.
Whatever it is, you can find out in the morning.
But that cat...
Oh, cat. Can't you say anything but cat?
It was so huge.
Huge nothing.
What?
We just imagined it, that's all. I mean, there in the shadows, it looked monstrous. You heard it. It sounded just like an ordinary tomcat.
But I
you
saw
You didn't
that...
see any more than I saw, and I think it was just a long shadow that got us fooled, that's all.
Yes, that could be it, yeah, couldn't it?
Of course. You remember in Psych 101 class, old Pudgy Wudgy told us about the tricks your eyes play in bad light when it comes to judging size.
Yeah, I remember. Local signs, they called it.
Right. Well, that's the way it was with that cat. I'll bet you your Aunt Harriet thinks we're both a little screwy. That's why she got us up here to bed in a hurry. Oh, bed. Isn't that a wonderful word? And will we sleep?
I hope so. I certainly hope so.
Alice.
What?
You're not sleeping either, are you?
No. I wanted to talk to you for hours, but I wasn't sure.
I thought you were asleep.
Somehow I can't.
Me neither.
I can't understand why. It's...
I'm the one who was crying how tired I was.
Bed's so comfortable.
House is quiet enough.
The house.
Huh?
Maybe that's why we can't sleep.
What do you mean?
Well, there's something about the house.
What?
Something... oppressive that won't let us sleep.
Oh, you're crazy.
No, I'm not.
It's just that, well, that we're too tired to sleep, that's all. Yes, that's it. Too tired, nerves on edge.
No, I've been lying here for hours trying to figure it out. Now I know.
Will you stop talking like that?
Don't you feel it, Lona? Don't you?
Well, I...
Tell the truth, you do feel it. It's something heavy in the air, you know, pressing down on us. I'm awfully frightened, Lona. Awfully.
Well, you're not going to frighten me. Why, this is your own Aunt Harriet's house. She's down there sleeping, and she...
That cat.
Yeah.
It sounds huge, doesn't it?
That's because it's so quiet in the house.
Lona, there's another one. I tell you, there's two of them. Lona, listen to them. They're not ordinary cats. Listen to them.
They can't be cats.
I'll call Aunt Harriet. She'll tell me. She'll make them stop.
Alice, wait. Don't go out there, you little fool.
Aunt Harriet, I've got
to... Get away from that door. Listen to those things down there. Listen to them.
No. No, I can't stand any more of it. Aunt Harriet. Aunt Harriet, make them stop. Aunt Harriet!
They've gone.
What? What were they?
Could two cats make... all that noise?
Aunt Harriet, why don't you come in here?
No, Alice, don't open that door.
Oh, but Aunt Harriet, why doesn't she answer me? She must know what it's all about. Why doesn't she?
Wait.
What?
Listen.
Someone's coming up the stairs.
Yes.
My Aunt Harriet?
It's not quite like footsteps.
The cat.
Maybe.
The door?
Cats can't open doors.
It's right outside the door. I can hear, can't I? Is it a cat?
Of course it is.
You don't think so either, do you?
It's just sitting there.
Yes.
Let it sit there.
I'm so afraid.
When morning comes, we'll get out of here.
Aunt Harriet. Aunt Harriet, why don't you answer me?
Oh, stop that.
There's something outside of our door, Aunt Harriet. We don't know what it is.
What's the use of calling her? She won't answer you.
Why do you say that?
Because she hasn't answered us and she won't.
But she's in the house. She must know.
Wait. Trying to get in.
As long as the door's shut.
We're safe enough.
Aunt Harriet! Oh, please wake up, Aunt Harriet.
No!
What?
Look. Doorknob. It's turning. Alice, cats can't open doors.
You mean Aunt Harriet? Yes. Yes, it must be Aunt Harriet.
She's ill and she's trying to open the door. I'll open it for her.
No. Oh, no, Lona, stay away from that door. I'm afraid. Oh, don't.
Come right in, Aunt Harriet. No!
Lona, I've got to get help. I've got to. Oh, my arm. I can't stand the pain. I've got to. The wood's so thick. I'm lost. I'm lost. And I've got to get help. Someone's got to help me. I'll get help for you, Lona. I'll get the help. It's getting bright. It's dawn. If I could only find a path or a road. She's tearing my clothes. Why do you tear my clothes? I just want to get help for Lona. I'll get help for you, Lona. I will. Road, an automobile. Help, stop. You've got to stop. Help me, please. Oh, help me. Oh, Lona.
Where is it, sister? What's the matter?
Oh, please.
Who are you?
Help me. Come with me right now.
Now,
please
take
don't
it easy.
Talk.
Take it easy. I'll help you. Sure, I'll help you.
You must help me.
I'm sheriff of this county.
Hurry. You must help me.
Now, wait a minute.
Please.
Are you with the girls who left that car on the side road back in the woods?
Car, yes. Yes, we left our car there. Oh, hurry. Please help me. My friend, Lona.
Joe! These are the girls.
Talk,
we found your car in the woods, and we've been looking for you for hours.
Please don't stand there talking. Hurry. We've got to help her. It's killing her.
Killing her? Joe, did you hear what
please.
She says?
Don't talk. Hurry. Hurry and come with me. Hurry. Please. Please hurry, I beg of you.
No, all right. Now take it easy, sister. This is the house, ain't it?
Yes. Oh, yes, this is the place.
The old Storgis house. Here. Yeah. Try the door, Joe.
Hurry. Just
it's
push
open,
it.
Sheriff.
Push it.
Well, let's go.
And upstairs. She's upstairs.
Nobody down here, Sheriff.
Here.
All right, let's get up there.
Here.
I don't know what this is all about, but I'm soon going to find out.
Lona, we're coming for you. Lona, we're coming. All right.
Hey. What room is it, Sheriff?
Right here, that room. That room right there. Hurry. It's killing her.
Get your gun out, Joe.
Please.
Door's partly open.
Oh, just
okay,
go
kick
in.
It open.
Please.
Watch yourself. Be careful, Joe.
Oh, Lona.
Sheriff!
Lona.
Sister, you stay here.
Lona.
Sheriff, there's nobody in
Lona.
This room. Huh? Look for yourself.
Please.
Well, now, what
Lona.
The...
Lona, where are you?
Now, wait a minute, sister. Lona. Are you sure that...
Yes. Yes, she was here. Right here. It came in the door and jumped at her. I turned. I ran. I jumped out of the window.
Hey, this window ain't broke.
But I tell you, I went through it. See? See, my arm.
Yeah.
Please.
But there's no one in here.
Oh,
the bed, why, it ain't even messed up.
Oh,
did you say you two were sleeping, sister?
We were. Oh, oh, no. Where are you? What has it done with you? Aunt Harriet.
Huh?
She'll know. Or has it killed her, too?
Sheriff, come quick. Come quick. Bring the girl. Oh,
come along, sister. Joe, what is it?
Look in there.
Aunt Harriet.
Old lady sitting in the rocker and knitting.
Oh, Aunt Harriet. Lona, where is she? What happened? Oh, Aunt Harriet, please tell me.
Yeah, tell us all.
And might I ask what this is all about?
Aunt Harriet, what's the matter? Didn't you hear anything? Lona, that horrible cat thing. What did it do to her? Answer me, what did it do?
Would you gentlemen tell me who is this hysterical young girl?
Aunt Harriet.
Now, look here. Don't you know who this girl is?
I certainly do not.
But, Aunt Harriet, I'm Alice. I came here with Lona. Don't you remember?
You must be mistaken. I've been alone all night.
You hear that,
no,
Joe?
No, I was here. Lona and I did come here. It's a horrible joke. That's what it is. Aunt Harriet, please. Please tell him you're just joking. Lona, where is she?
I don't know what you're talking about. I never saw you before in all my life.
No. Oh, no, that's not true, Aunt Harriet. Aunt Harriet.
Now, wait a minute. I've had about enough of this out of you, sister. Chasing up here with all that bunkum about cats and killings and all that.
No. Everything I said to you.
You better come along with us.
Everything I said to you was true. It was true.
Joe, take her other arm.
No, let go of
me. Come on, now.
Please,
don't raise a fuss.
Aunt Harriet, don't let them take me away.
Come on, sister.
Horrible cat things. I tell you, there were two of them here.
Oh, come on.
Don't let them take me away.
Now, don't mind her, old lady. We'll take care of her.
Yes, take good care of her, cracked little thing.
Now, come on, sister.
No, wait. Look at her teeth as she laughs. Look at her teeth.
Mother in heaven, they're cat's teeth. And her hands, they're claws.
No. Stay away from me.
Grab her, Joe.
Stop you.
Let me go.
Stop
me. Let me go.
Oh, in my eyes. Get her, Joe. She beat me. Joe.
Dead.
Oh, Aunt Harriet.
Oh, she's no aunt of anything human. I can tell you that. Look at her.
But my Aunt Harriet. Aunt Harriet Saugus.
Saugus? You hear that, Sheriff?
Yeah. So you came here thinking she was Mrs. Saugus. Did you, girl?
Yes. Yes, Lona and I. And Lona must be dead now. How could my aunt do what she did? How could she?
This thing is no aunt of yours, child. Your Aunt Harriet Saugus died in this house 3 years ago. And she left two cats.
My dear Mr. Obler.
Oh, come, Frank. Don't tell me you don't believe tonight's story.
Should I?
Frank, did you ever hear of lycanthropy?
The who?
Lycanthropy. I was looking it up just then. That's why I didn't answer you. It's a form of illusion in which the person imagines he's a wolf.
Oh, yeah. Main Street's full of them.
Now, seriously. Only a handful of years ago, it was the firm belief of many people that certain human beings could turn into animals.
You think that people can turn into wolves and cats?
And poor fish? No. But under certain provocations, the human mind can certainly transform itself into many peculiar forms. Even we who are normal. Haven't we met women who are catty, men who are brave as lions, and others who made you wonder whether they were men or mice? But even if you've had some doubt about people turning into animals, there's no doubt about what waste kitchen fats turn into. Oh, what a transition. But seriously, what every American wants is the news that Berlin has fallen, that the stars and stripes are flying over Tokyo. And ladies, you, Mrs. Johnson, wrote me last week, and you, Mrs. Stauffer, and all the rest of you. There is a vital part which only you can play in that final victory. Only you can furnish the kitchen fats which are needed so desperately to make explosives. Now, with the loss of most of our sources of supply in the Pacific, Uncle Sam must look to you for the fats our plants must have. You and only you can supply them. Now, you say you can't save enough to count now that meat and fats are rationed? Then listen to this.
As little as one tablespoon of fat a day amounts to a pound in a month. That pound of waste fat will send to Hitler and Hirohito, with your compliments, a half pound of dynamite, 10 rounds from an airplane cannon, 4 anti-aircraft shells. And mind you, the government doesn't want them until they're too dark or too strong for your further use. Then and only then, pour them into a smooth-edged can, sell them to your butcher, and within 3 weeks' time, they'll be in a munitions plant on their way to the fighting fronts to do their vital share for victory. Make your waste kitchen fats to your butcher the first thing tomorrow morning, so our boys can give your answer to the Japs and Nazis at the earliest possible moment.
Now, Frank, let's talk about next week's story. Next week, just an experiment, entirely different type of lights-out story. An entirely different approach. There's love and a boy and a girl in it. Now, it's a story I did a very long time ago to a rather limited audience. And I know that you, 13 millions who listen to Lights Out, will enjoy The Ugliest Man in the World next week.
Yes, tune in next Tuesday again for Arch Obler's eerie story, The Ugliest Man in the World. And if you need more vitamin B1 and iron, be sure to try ironized yeast.
Lights Out, untuned to yesterday from the 25th of May, 1943 on CBS. Wrapping up this hour of horror on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. It's been a pleasure.